Okay, we're holding Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Siman Lamed Chet. God willing, we'll finish today. Alacha Yudaled, the 38th chapter, the 14th paragraph. Vinot Agoyim Asurot, cheeses, non-Jewish cheeses. So they are forbidden. Even though we have a tradition that non-kosher milk doesn't curdle well to make cheese, and you would say, so if it's cheese, obviously it's kosher. So our sages said that the prohibition on eating, on drinking milk, that a Jew hasn't witnessed that it was milked from a Jewish animal and it hasn't been under Jewish supervision, extends also to cheeses. So gvinot agoyim, cheeses that are sold by non-Jews, asurot, are also forbidden. Today we have other problems. Today some of the cheeses are made specifically in a non-kosher fashion, with non-kosher fats, and also you have cheeses that are made with worms. I come from my family, I'm a fourth generation cheese manufacturers. So
kosher cheese?
Yeah, you're not allowed to sell non-kosher food items. There's halacha that you can't do business with non-kosher food.
Really? Even if you're selling it to your goyim.
Yeah. You can't have a McDonald's.
Or anything like that?
So let's see that for Thursday night.
Can't you sell to supermarkets?
You could sell to supermarkets. Look, my family sold cheeses that were not labeled as kosher, but the food was kosher. Yeah. Meaning you... I didn't follow. If it has extra on the packet, then what?
Is it permissible to sell to
you? Well, why not? If it's kosher, yes. If not, not.
Said even if it's kosher, even if it doesn't have
you said that you can't sell to non-Jews.
No, you could sell to non-Jews. You're just not allowed to sell non-kosher food. One of two reasons are offered. Either because we're concerned you'll end up eating from it as you're dealing with the food. People are working in McDonald's. They snack on the chips and the stuff that's there. Or the other reason is that people are going to assume you're eating from it. But for one of those two reasons, one is forbidden to deal with non-kosher food, to sell non-kosher food. You could sell whatever you want to non-Jews. The question is, you want to sell a pigskin. You want to sell a football. So that's not edible. So then it would be okay. The question is, what happens when you acquire the pig as a pig? And then you make it into a pigskin. So that's for a different class when we deal with these halachos. So at any rate, what?
If somebody can't find another job and he has to work at McDonald's,
you should call his rabbi and find out, because it seems like it's an issur d'oraisa. It seems like it's a biblical prohibition, because the Torah says that you should sell, if you have an animal that dies and is not kosher after its death, so either give it to the ger toshav as a gift, or sell it to a non-Jew. And our sages from that derive that Torah is telling us that only in that circumstance may you sell non-kosher food to a non-Jew. But ordinarily you cannot do business with non-kosher food. So it seems to be a biblical prohibition.
There's a Mishnah also.
Back to our topic. Vinot agoyim asurot. Cheeses made by non-Jews are forbidden. They're part of this rabbinic decree. Vimei Yisrael roa chaliva. And if a Jew sees the milking process and the making of the cheeses, if the cheeses are owned by Jews at the time that they are made, then they are prevented. But if they are owned by non-Jews, then they are forbidden. Hachema, butter, taliav minhagam komot. Depends on the custom of the different places. Yesh mekomot shenochlin chema shel goyim. There are places that their custom is not to eat non-Jewish butter. There are places that have the custom to eat it. And if a person goes from a place that the custom is not to eat the butter to a place that the custom is yes to eat the butter, he may eat with the people there even though ultimately he's going back home. And if a person, his custom is ordinarily to eat butter that's made by non-Jews, and he comes to a place where the custom is not to eat it, he may not eat it. Today we know that they forge, they counterfeit, they switch real butter with pig fat. Therefore, what's fitting is that a person should distance himself from it. And today, bichlal, today a person can't rely on any of this, because today we know that they spray Pam on the frying pans and all that, and a lot of that is non-kosher. It's just simply non-kosher. A lot of the oils that they spray to coat a frying pan is just not kosher, at least in the United States. It's not a question of what we're discussing here.
Fats and stuff.
All kinds of fats that aren't kosher. I don't know specifically which fats are used, but some of the stuff that they coat the frying pans is not kosher. So all of this was assuming that you knew the ingredients were kosher. Today, the makeup of almost any item is so complex that you can't assume you know the ingredients are kosher unless you verify it. And one may call the kashrus organizations and they'll tell you that certain things do not need a hechsher. But today, those are the exceptions. Whereas once upon a time, the ingredients were far more simple. And that's why if you'll speak to people 30 years ago, 40 years ago, everyone used to buy food without a hechsher. They knew how to read the ingredients and they knew how things were made. I remember even as a kid that people were buying maple syrup without a hechsher. And then they discovered that part of the manufacturing process of maple syrup was after they take it out of the tree, they'd purify it and they'd cook it. And there were kashrus issues with the way they would purify the maple syrup. But I remember that they had to notify people because everyone was buying maple syrup without a hechsher. But today one cannot do that because the foods that are manufactured, every food has many, many, many ingredients and goes through many processes. And therefore it's far more problematic to buy any food that doesn't have a hechsher. So one has, if one is going to buy a food without a hechsher, he has to verify with the kashrus organization, and he has to keep up, he has to keep tabs with the kashrus organization to make sure that what he verified in the past is still current. Things change. The way they manufacture, things change. For example, the Mars bars that they import to Israel, the Snickers bars, there was a sign recently that they had a hechsher, and then the hechsher was taken away. And they still kept sending it into Israel with a hechsher that was not legitimate. A lot of the candy bars, it was printed with a hechsher, and the candy bars really had a problem with the hechsher. Now, I don't know how serious the problem was, whether they're still kosher or not. I don't remember the details of the advertisement, but one has to be up to date.
Eastern Europe or something, certain area where they produced it.
Yeah. And just because you know that a certain candy bar or cereal is kosher in one country, even in that same country, in different areas, you have to verify that it's kosher. For example, in New York, it used to be known, I don't know what today is the case, it used to be known that Kellogg's and Post, that little K that's on the box could be relied on. Now, that little K means that the company, as far as they know, they think it's kosher. Mm-hmm. There's no real supervision. That's what I was told once, that's what that K means. So I was told that in Kellogg's you could rely on that in the past. I don't know if that's current. So verify. Call up the OU. Call up a rabbi that knows. Just because you don't know doesn't mean it's a problem.
Yeah, Kellogg's. When I worked a year ago or 2 years ago,
every so often. Yeah. You have to make sure that your information is current. And if you want, you could subscribe to the Rabbanut here in Israel, to the Orthodox Union in the United States. And they'll send you emails and updates on what's going on. That way you could remain current. They have a list, for example, of wines, and not wines, but whiskeys that you could buy without a hechsher. So there was a list that the rabbinic, the CRA, I think, used to put out. I don't know if they still do, but I think you could get it. Many rabbis have it. That they verified which liquors were okay. There was time that Irish cream, the famous Irish cream, I don't remember which one, used to be okay without a hechsher, and then it wasn't okay without a hechsher. Kahlua is changing back and forth. You have to keep up to date. So all these halachas are just for our general knowledge, but the practical applications is that you have to buy with a hechsher, and if you're ever going to buy without a hechsher, you have to verify that it's okay.
And you hear the Rabbanut has like a department that deals with this, like Mechlekat Kashrut or something like that?
Yeah, you could call up the Rabbanut. Make sure you're... You can discern between I don't know and it's not okay. I don't know doesn't mean it's not okay. I don't know means I don't know. Verify with someone else. And ideally, if you have a rabbi who could find out, that's better. Because sometimes there are politics. And you don't want to not eat something because of politics. So a rabbi, hopefully, could get beyond the politics. But you'd be surprised. There were kashrus issues here in Israel the last year. With the Rabbanut, there are people claiming all kinds of things. And I tried to verify what's really going on. Is the Rabbanut okay or not? Rabbanut Yerushalayim, etc. Couldn't get a straight answer from anyone. Called many rabbis, and no one was willing to say anything because it was too politically charged. So I still don't know what the deal is with the Rabbanut since the changes that occurred a year ago. I don't know. But ideally, hopefully, if you ask a rabbi, you'll get a more lenient answer than you will from a kashrus organization. Because the organization sometimes has politics.
Can I just ask you, now we're on the topic, what is the deal with all the different kashrus here? Why is Rabbanut, like, some people like don't trust it, or they do in Yerushalayim, outside, and then like,
so the idea is
and then Bedatz is like super, super kosher.
No,
like, what's the deal with that?
There are a few things. The Rabbanut was set up to try and ensure that every item in the country is kosher. And that's very important. But in order to do that, the Rabbanut has to factor in that if they're going to be too stringent, then a lot of the companies won't agree to make their products kosher. And therefore, the Rabbanut adopts many leniencies because they say, I'd rather adopt leniencies and work with the companies and ensure that almost every item in the country is kosher, even if it is relying on leniencies, then have a situation where I'm raising my standards, and then I don't have all the items kosher. And that's one of the reasons why many people say that a person who's God-fearing shouldn't eat the Rabbanut. I wouldn't say that to anyone here. You guys, you have other things to worry about. Right now you shouldn't worry about kashrus. If it has a kashrus symbol, eat it. I think that life is difficult enough when a person is starting out, and there are enough stringencies that a person suddenly has to wake up on time for minyan, suddenly has to put on tefillin, suddenly has to daven 3 times a day. Suddenly he can't eat non-kosher food that he was used to eating. So I don't think that a person should worry about kashruyot. If you're asking me why people say it, so that's one of the reasons why. Mm-hmm. There are other reasons. There was a general agreement between the staff and the last staff meeting that we will not go into these points because we think that it's better you guys at this stage of the game should not concern yourself with it. I think if a person starts thinking about it too much, this is one issue which a person can really have a hard time with. And a person has to advance in many other stages before he worries about this.
And then you wind up in Haifa, and they don't have any margarine or products going around. You can't eat anywhere if you're not going to do revenue then.
I don't think that anyone is holding at a stage now where they should worry about it. I'm not telling you that I eat everywhere. I don't. I eat almost nowhere. But you'll get there. I think that one of the things we're working on, and everyone has to work on it, is connecting with what you're doing and enjoying what you're doing. And a person has to advance slowly. And this is an issue which can make a person's life miserable. So I'm not saying it's not something to aspire to, but you have to think of it in the long term. And at this point, you have a general picture. There are obviously a lot of details that I'm leaving out, but I don't think that it makes sense to go into now. I think that right now, focus on building everything else. Don't forget, it's not like you have a home to eat in. It's not like you have where to go. Sometimes you're in all kinds of places. Right now is not the time to worry about this. After you guys set up your own homes, then you should have a rabbi, consult with him slowly as you move forward on it. It is an issue to be discussed, but not at this stage of the game. And this was agreed upon by everyone. Mm-hmm. When we were discussing what halachas we were going to learn, everyone agreed that these halachas we shouldn't go into. Because we think that it'll make everyone's life miserable, and it's not justified for this stage of the game.